Thank you, Brother Dan, for the introduction. I believe it's the first time that my Brother Dan opens the service and introduced me for the first time since I was called to this office. I'd like to thank you to all of you for being here and for those who are watching over the stream, live stream. I'd like to welcome to you, and I welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm grateful for this opportunity that I have to stand before you tonight. And as I see a small crowd, I still see a full house. And that, I don't think that feeling in my heart will ever go away. And that is for all of us, for all the ministers that have this responsibility to stand before you and bring those good tidings of those good news that our Lord have for us. And that song, Lily of the Valley, I was singing that song through the whole week, and I don't even know why. And I heard it right now. I was able to sing it, and it comforted me. It comforted me that He's the lily of the valley, and He is always there for you. He's always watching and care for you. Sometimes people, not gonna say ignorant because they're not, they haven't had the opportunity for someone to come to them and to teach them, to show them what God has for them, what God wants of them, and what we are expecting in our future, and why are we following this path, you know. And that's something that we need to do. That maybe it's not just us; it's our responsibility, but it's everyone who has the opportunity through the day, work, and school. We should always take the chance and not to let it go away, or perhaps you might feel regret through the day, asking yourself why I didn't take the opportunity. I don't know. I feel sometimes myself that way, and I don't know if you do feel the same way. Tonight, it was a surprise for me to stand before you, because as you heard me reading the announcements, I was supposed to preach next week, but. I don't think that God has a plan for you all the time, and as long as we come to Him in prayer, He will guide you. And I hope and pray that the message that I have today, you will have an understanding, and I hope I make my point of what I'm talking about here today. And as we all know, that those messages come from God. They're not come from your own understanding, from your own learning. Because sometimes when I'm trying to prepare myself, I like to study and I like to read, pretending that by doing all that, I will memorize it. But I can tell you right now that I don't remember anything that I read a week ago. And so it's not gonna come out the way I thought or the way I wanted. It's gonna go by the way the Spirit of God will want it, not as I want it. And so perhaps tonight, out of this few words that I have for you tonight, hopefully you get a message, hopefully you get a blessing. Because God is always right there to open the heavens, to open the doors of heavens, showers of blessings. But we also have an enemy that He opens the doors of hell to destroy those blessings. So we need to be aware and prepare for that. And by us coming to his house to hear his word, it helps us to walk that straight, narrow path. And knowing that he is right next to you, knowing that he's holding up your right hand. So I'm going to start with this, Patriarcha? Captain Moroni. He was a patriarch? I guess. I don't know how to, I can. So I would like you to have your books open so you can follow me and you so you can understand. Yeah. Patriarch. Okay. I see that Moroni, Captain Moroni, was someone who helped the Nephites, those people that were trying to do the good thing by not fighting anymore. They were sick and tired of fighting with their brothers, the Lamanites. And so I found it interesting as I was reading in Alma 20, if you want to go there and you Book of Mormon, Alma 20. And as I was reading it, it brought my attention that, you know, we always trying to do the best thing. We always trying to follow God's commandments. We always trying to please him, trying to please him, but there's always something out there that's going to disturb you. It can be anything. Like I said, God always opens the doors of heaven, but also our enemy is in the world. He's a real thing. Evil is good, is real, and it's up there waiting for you, seeking the weak ones. He's always up there. So when these people trying to do and live a godly life, that's when the enemy tried to take advantage of it, and even bring you down worse than that you already are, perhaps. But we should not let that happen. We should not let that happen. Our best weapon that we have is praying. Prayers is our best weapon to defeat those feelings, to defeat those bad feelings, to defeat those bad thoughts, to defeat those people that encourage you to do the wrong, evil, infirmities, and all those things that bring you down. Prayer is our best weapon. So my title of my sermon today, I name it Fight for Your Family. And hopefully that helps with what I'm reading and where I'm going. That we have to fight for our family daily. So prayer is our weapon. Our scriptures, the Bible and in the Book of Mormon says that our scripture says like a sword in your hand. A sword that will cut from both sides. We have to have those two books in our minds and our hearts. Every time we open them, we have to remember every time that evil is present, we have to pray. We have to pray. And by reading and searching our scriptures, you will know good and evil. And that's why when you reach the age of accountability, I'm considering right, when you're old enough to understand the good and evil is when we are now we ask to maybe perhaps contemplate the what God wants of you. He wants you to be safe. He wants you to be with Him. He wants you to be with all of us. He wants you to be with your family. And so, as you reach that age, you might want to think about that and make that change in your life and start following God. If you want to open your Book of Mormon in Alma 20, I'm going to read a little bit about how Captain Moroni helped these people, and as the enemy was trying to destroy them, he interfered to help them. You know, Christ said, you know, when somebody hates you and you cheat, you should offer the other one. But he also said that, you know, when it's about your family, you know, your wife, your kids, your beliefs, your religion, your liberty, you have to. It comes to the point that you have to fight. He says to be peaceful is a dove, but also to be It's a serpent. To be is a wise as a serpent. Thank you, honey. And so we need to think about those things. The not to let people take advantage of you just because they think or they want to make you think that they are brothers, they are the same belief. There's many of those up there that just want to gain, trying to gain with that, trying to trick you. So I'm going to start reading in Alma 20, verse 9. If you have your scriptures. And now the design of the Nephites was to support their lands and their houses and their wives and their children, that they might preserve them from the hands of their enemies, and also that they might preserve their rights and their privilege. Yea, and also the liberty, that they may worship God according to their desires. For they knew that if they should fall into the hands of the Lamanites, that whosoever should worship God in spirit and in truth, the true and the living God, the Lamanites will destroy you. We have that problem today, you know. That caused persecution. A lot of our brothers and sisters in many parts of the world suffering that. We don't know what it's like that yet, but it's coming. It's coming in, and are we prepared for that? I don't know. I don't know if we are. Evil can be really scary. Will seek you as a lion to destroy you, and as humans, we feel that fear. But he also say not to fear the one that only kills the body, but fear him who kills the body and the soul. Verse 11. Yeah, and they also knew the extreme hatred of the Lamanites toward their brethren, which were the people of Anti, Nephi, Lehi, which were called the people of Ammon. And they would not take their arms, yet they had entered into a covenant, and they would not break it. Therefore, if they should fall into the hands of the Lamanites, they will be destroyed. They will be killed. But at this time, they know exactly, they have learned, they have heard of the word of God, that even if they die and they lost their lives, they should be okay. That is a very good example right there for us. Even when they were in those days, there were some of them, they were burned in the stake. I can't remember which book is it, but they know where they were going. It's hard to understand something like that. But the truth and the matter is that if we fail here to the world, God will not fail to us. Just like this thing right here. can't trust electronics. Electronics will fail you, but God won't. Verse 13. And the Nephites will not suffer that they should not be destroyed. Therefore, they give the lands for the inheritance. Their brothers will know what was coming, and they stick up for them. They helped them to, because they knew and they understand that they were men of peace. But it's not going to let the enemy take advantage of that. So Captain Moroni was able to protect them. And so they choose him as a captain of the armies. And now the leader of the Nephites, or the men which have been appointed to be the chief captain over the Nephites, now the chief captain took a commandment of all the armies of the Nephites, and his name was Moroni. And Moroni took the command and the governor of their wars, and he was only 25 years old when he was appointed chief captain over the armies of the Nephites. 25 years old, that's not old enough. That's still a young boy. But his trust in the Lord was his best arm that he had. As you read in the whole chapter of Alma 20, it explains all what he did and what he had to be encouraged and how he encouraged the people, his army, the Nephites, to not give up and not to be scared of their brethren, the Lamanites, as we know from the beginning, how did they turn their back into them and ignore them and not to listen to what their father Lehi has to say to them. They were being rebels, and there's a price for that. There's a price for that, and you know, and if it were not for Lehi, who sent his son to get the records from Laman, I believe, we would not have these records today. You know, from the beginning, everything was a plan of God. Everything was a plan of God. Even the bronze, the place of bronze, which is the Bible, he brought with him. And so we have these records today. They even from the beginning, there has been kids that they don't listen to parents. They do what they want to do. And at the end, they get lost in the path that Lehi saw in his dream as they were coming, grabbing onto the bar iron. Verse 50 to 52. Nevertheless, the Nephites were inspired by a better cause, for they were fighting. They were not fighting for monarchy, power, or anything else, but they were fighting for their homes, their liberties, for their wives, for their children, from their all, yea, for their rights of worship in the church. And they were doing that which they felt was the duty which they owed to their God. For the Lord has said unto them, and also unto their fathers, that insomuch as ye are not guilty of these first offenses, neither the second, you should not suffer yourselves to be slain by the hands of your enemies. And again the Lord has said unto ye, shall defend your families, even unto the blood shed. Therefore, for this cause were the Nephites contending with the Lamanites, to defend themselves and their families and their lands and their country and their rights and their religion. So as you see here, we trust in the Lord. When he says, I will put this enemy in your hands, he never fails. He always does. He always does. He did it for Nephi when he went and recuperated the place, a golden place. The bronze. And also he did it for David when he went and fight Goliath. If he says something, he is not gonna back up on it, because it's a God that doesn't change. And what he says, he kept. And so much that even with from the beginning, we have causing him to be angry, he still has so much love for you and I, that he forgives you as long as you come to him and ask him for forgiveness. My other interesting in the Bible is that I find the same way of Nehemiah, who was a server, of the king of Persia, I believe, and around 445 BC. He was a servant. He was working in this castle, in this kingdom for this king. He was the who tastes the wine before the king drinks it, to make sure that it's not poison. He was a cupbearer. So Nehemiah, being away from Jerusalem. And in those days, there was a lot of destruction. A lot of other people were taken advantage of Jerusalem. There were a lot of wars. They took them captivity, and they coming back, and they destroyed the temple twice, I believe, and they knocked down the walls. And so Nehemiah, around these years, he was working in this castle, and some of his people came to, says his brother, came to see him, and so he brought news for him. So I compared Nehemiah to Captain Moronan, that he went and fight for a good cause, just like Captain Moronan there here. That he fight for that good cause, for his brethren, for his people, and for his religion, and for all those things that we're trying to follow as a good people. We're trying to do the good, but there's always something there that's gonna mess things up. In 445 or 444 BC, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. He was to make sure that his job was to make sure that to taste the wine. If the king was asked for it, he was just to make sure there was no poison in the wine. So, if you read the book of Nehemiah, it talks about the first Jews, the first group of Jews that went back to Jerusalem around 538 BC. And so, I would say quite a few years later, I come up with 80, I don't know how many there were. Nehemiah was able to go back to Jerusalem and build the walls. They were knocked out. I'm sorry? Knocked down. They were down. And the many other people or tribes from the same, from the Jews, they were able to build other things, like towers and gates and all that stuff. But Nehemiah, his duty was to build the walls. And I'm going to read a little bit about how he did it and why he did it. So I'm going to study Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. But before that, He had to ask permission to the king to let him go because the king of Persia loved him. In those days, Persia was big. And so he asked him, you know, why are you sad? And Nehemiah told him the reason why he was upset. And so he asked permission, and the king of Persia helped him with all the necessities that he would need to go back and build those walls. So in Nehemiah 1, verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hachaliah, it came to pass that in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, which is in Persia, the Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning, Nehemiah asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of captivity, and concerning of Jerusalem. And they say unto me, the remainder are left of the captivity, they are in the province. They are in great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So that those news, They were too much for Nehemiah. He felt sad for it, for those news. Even though he had nothing to do with that, God used him for the specific task, I would say, to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild those walls. In our spiritual life, those walls means protection in our life. What our brother Moroni did to protect his people, their children, and the right to worship God, it was protecting them. Today I can say we have and we are facing the same situation. We have to build walls around our family. Our brother Jacobson talked about yesterday, last weekend, in his sermon about this little rock. And that kind of made me think about it. It's a little rock. It was all wobbly and everything. But to the time that rock can become really nice and round, if it keeps rolling and rolling through the time, through the dirt and all that stuff, it will become a perfect rock. And as the way I see it, we are just like those little rocks. We might be all out of shape. But through the time and as the years go by, God will make us perfect. God will make us perfect. And as we roll into time, which we don't have that much time, we will build, we will be part of those walls that God has called us to be. Jesus Christ being the cornerstone who supports all the walls of our church. I picture this, our church. We are like the walls of the church. Those walls means protection from the enemy. And in Nehemiah 1:4, and it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept. And I mourned certain days, fasted and prayed before God of heaven. And I said, beseech thee, O Lord of heaven. Nehemiah is praying to God. He's not praying here to help us sleep good or God bless this food. He is praying a prayer at this desperation. A prayer I need, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Our prayers is the best weapon we have. But when you pray, you also You also hurt the enemy. He does not like you when you pray. He likes it when you're suffering. But when you kneel and pray, he suffers. He suffers. And at this point, we're going to read a little bit of this guy who was opposed to what Nehemiah wanted to do. And he got so angry that he got his group together and tried to go to war and tried to surprise them and kill them. But God will let you know of those things. He will warn you. He will let you know, don't step there. Or watch out for those things. But we have to have a relationship close with him and ask him of those decisions that you want to do in life. And he will tell you, don't step there. Nehemiah 4, chapter 1. We're going to read from 1 to 5. But it came to pass that when Sanballat, which is the enemy, heard that we built the walls, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And speak before his brethren in the army of Samaria and say, why do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves, whether sacrifice, whether make an end of the day, whether revive the stones out of the heaps and the rubbish which are burned? See, he was making fun of them. He cannot believe they were doing that. And of course, it was not convenient for him. Jerusalem in those days were surrounded by enemies, and until now, but the prayer will help because God is right there next to you. Nehemiah 4:4, hear, O our God, for we have despised and turned their reproach upon their own heads, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sins be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Before the builders. We are his builders. We are building his kingdom. And as we walk in life, we have to pray that for the enemy not to stay before us, not to be, for him not to be in front of us, but God to be in front of us. We are his builders. We all. Let's think about that. That as builders, we have to fight for our rights. Just like our brothers there. And I'm going to continue on in the chapter 2, verse 19. Actually, this is in Ephesians. It says, that's Ephesians 2:19, I'm sorry. And we're going to read 19 and 20. So now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Here it is. We are not strangers. But we are part of this foundation, a part of these builders. So we had to continue on in that. Nehemiah encouraged them to fight for the family as Captain Moroni did it to his family. And the same thing he did, Nehemiah did for his people. And so while we're standing here, it's what we do today to encourage ourselves. For what we believe, to encourage ourselves for God, that he will not fail us, that no matter what we go through, that we will continue standing strong in our faith. David, he did the same thing. God was with him even from the beginning. as his father sent him to deliver food for his brothers in the days that they were under attack by the Philistines. He delivered cheese and bread for his family, for his brothers, for his brethren. He was going there not with the intent of fight, but God had a plan for him. And I'm jumping to this story because I believe that it has a lot to do with what I'm talking about here. He was, I believe, he was around 17. He was a young boy too, and not built of body. He was just a boy, a shepherd, you know, as we know, as we read in the scriptures. And so you were like, you will call him, you cannot call him a pizza boy because he was not a pizza boy, but he brought cheese and bread for his brothers. He was not there to fight. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read from 46 to 54. And this day will the Lord deliver into thee, into my hand, and I will smite him. He's talking to the Goliath at this point. That I realized that. Goliath is attacking him with all these words. By this time, he has encouraged his brothers not to give up as they were afraid of this giant. And there's a scripture that says, if God is with us, who is against us? And that's what he told his brothers and all the army. Why are you afraid to this guy? Do you believe that God will deliver it to you? They will deliver it into your hands? And that's what he told him when he faced the giant. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. He didn't have no sword. He didn't have weapons, but he's a little rock and a slingshot. And as a shepherd, he would take the slingshot with him everywhere he go. He didn't know he was going to need it that day as he was just bringing lunch to his brethren. As we know, our brothers that are traveling the world, they don't go up there with anything. They have their weapons. They have the word of God, which they take with them to everywhere they go. And that's my point tonight, that no matter where we go, we have to have this scriptures present when it's needed, because our daily life is full of danger, and we have to be prepared to fight when that danger comes. This day, chapter 46 and chapter 17 and verse 46, I'm sorry. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day into the force of the earth, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord save it not with swords and spears, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into you, into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Without fear, he just got up there and met this big guy. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistines with the sling and with the stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood up on the Philistines and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Our fight, we're not alone. Our fight is the Lord's fight. We are in war daily. As we know, that we fight with things that we cannot see, but the temptation is right there. We fight with spirits every day, with bad spirits, and we have to know, and we have to be aware of those things that surround us. God says, I will take care of thee, and I would have just for those that not follow my commands. So my message tonight is about, do we need to protect our families? We are the walls. We are the little rocks. And Christ is our leader. Christ is always leading us. And with him, we will win the fight. We will win the race. And that is my message for today, tonight. And I hope you and pray that there was a blessing for you, that you got something out of it. Thank you.